You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Duquesne is on top of the MU Hawks by a score of 24-7. Our halftime show today presented by the Asbury Park Press. Today's the number one source for local news and information at the Jersey Shore. The Asbury Park Press is a proud sponsor of Monmouth University Athletics. Time to take a look in our first segment here at the Coke Zero out-of-town scoreboard. We start first in the games involving Big South teams. Again, Duquesne leading Monmouth here 24-7. Coming up a bit later on this afternoon, early evening or late afternoon, depending on your preference, Coastal Carolina will play at Florida A&M. 6 o'clock kickoff, NC State will welcome in Presbyterian. Also a 6 o'clock start, the Citadel will visit 3-0 Charleston Southern, 1-2 Gardner-Webb, home for 1-1 Wofford. And then tonight, an interesting one, the two bottom teams in the FCS top 25, number 24 Liberty, will play host to number 25 Bryan. Future Monmouth opponents, it is Dayton right now leading Robert Morris by a score of 14-0. That game just getting up and going around 1 o'clock, so about midway through in the first half. Also, Columbia will be on the schedule a bit later on this year. The Fordham Rams leading the Lions by a score of 12-0. Lehigh on top of Yale. That game with a 7-0 advantage for the Mountain Hawks. Top 25 activity games in progress right now. Just a couple of them in the second quarter. Number 11, Michigan State leading Eastern Michigan 42-0. It's number 13, Georgia on top of Troy 38-0. Number 19, Wisconsin leads Bowling Green 27-10. In the 3:30 time block, number 3, Alabama playing host to Florida. 6-ranked Texas A&M will be at LSU. Number 21, BYU home for Virginia. 18th-ranked Missouri with a 4 o'clock kickoff welcoming in Indiana. Our score here is Duquesne 24 and Monmouth 7. We'll step out, take a three-minute timeout. When we come back, our halftime interview still to follow. Stats and analysis get you set for the start of quarter number 3 in this one. Duquesne 24, Monmouth 7. We're back right after this with more Hawks football on the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Networks.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back. We are high above one of the three rivers here at Rooney Field, where the Duquesne Dukes lead the Monmouth Hawks at halftime 24-7 after MU took a 7-0 lead. It was 24 unanswered by the home team Dukes to take this 17-point lead. And while we have a minute, we'd like to remind everyone, tickets still available for 2014 Monmouth Football Contest by calling 732-263-5735 or by visiting MonmouthHawks.com, as well as basketball tickets just about ready to be released to the public in a matter of days. As now at halftime, I'm happy to be joined by Monmouth Assistant Athletic Director Greg Viscomi. And Greg, as many of you know, is the man responsible for the football team's media coverage, their tremendous social media presence, and beyond that, and this is really what we want to get into with Greg this afternoon as we've been teasing all first half, the driving force behind the new partnership between Monmouth Athletics and ESPN3 and the creation of the brand new Monmouth Digital Network. So before we get into that, Greg, first of all, I feel bad at saying how's your afternoon going because it's going similar to ours, but how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Just wish the Hawks were doing a little bit better, but we got 30 more minutes to turn this one around. We're just going to have to make some plays on both sides of the ball.
Hawks down 24-7 after scoring the half's, really the game's opening touchdown, a Brandon Hill to Neil Sterling 17-yard pass. Matt and I will go over complete stats later in halftime, but Greg, want to get really into and in-depth with the big news around campus, and it's all over MonmouthHawks.com. It's all over all of the social media accounts for the athletics department. But just let's talk about, we'll start with what this means for Monmouth University and Monmouth Athletics, this new exclusive partnership with ESPN3, the creation of the newly named Monmouth Digital Network, and we'll get kind of the genesis of how it happened, but from an overall macro perspective, just how big is this for the department?
I think it's absolutely huge. It's not only just huge for the department or for the players, it's huge for the entire university. I mean, you saw the numbers out in the release, 94 million people have access to ESPN3, and when we put those events on, it's going to be an unbelievable experience for the university to get exposure, our athletic teams to get exposure, for our students to get experience actually running a live TV-style webcast, I guess you would call it. It's a great thing, and it's just an honor to be at Monmouth during this time.
And you mentioned the different elements of the school that are going to have a hand in this broadcast and in these broadcasts, and obviously it's going to be under the umbrella of athletics with you leading the charge on the ESPN3 Monmouth Digital Network front. But I know we've been in talks and in discussions with many different entities at the university that's going to be able to make this happen.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty awesome. Obviously, like I stated, it is going to be an opportunity for our students to get some hands-on experience learning the way ESPN expects things to be done. Everything will be done in an ESPN-style layout. The Olympic sports are a minimum of a four-camera setup, which is basically what we do now on the Monmouth Digital Network. And then for the other sports, the revenue-generating sports, for lack of a better term, football and your basketballs, it's going to be a 5 or 6 camera setup, which we've been consistently running 5 camera setups for 2 years now in HD. So we've been used to it. It's just going to be a little bit of a switch. It's a bigger crew. There's a couple more positions. There's some different equipment to learn, and it's just going to be unbelievable for the entire university.
And Greg, also, as we're here at halftime with Monmouth down 24-7 to Duquesne, speaking with Assistant Athletics Director Greg Viscomi, take the casual observer and fan through that initial process. How does it go? How does it even start where a school like Monmouth University with a tremendous athletics tradition, but how does it even start where this can be a thing, where this is even possible? Take us to step one.
Well, I guess it begins with ESPN3 kind of growing and the digital platform growing, with Apple TV and Xbox platforms and PlayStation and Roku and all those different ways to deliver this kind of digital medium. Forget about the fact that you can do it on your iPhone or your Android or any of those. And that's kind of where it starts. So they need content. And they reach out to a couple schools first. St. John's was actually the first ones to get it going. And then they moved on to the Atlantic Coast Conference and a little bit down in the Atlantic Sun Conference. Mercer was actually the first FCS school to put on an ESPN3 broadcast of a football game. We're really hoping that Monmouth will be the second team. And it's just exciting. And it's so getting back to they need content. They come to all these schools. They mention, we joined the MAC. There's a relationship there with the MAC. And they say to the MAC, who do you know that's ready? Marist had done some stuff under their kind of whatever their Go Red Foxes TV or whatever it is, and ESPN took some of their games on. That's similar to what some of these production companies do, like Liberty with the Liberty Flames Network. They put on a full production, and then ESPN just grabs that feed. Well, the difference here is going to be that we're using all ESPN graphics, wipes, intros, all that stuff will all be ESPN3 branded. So they finally got around to Monmouth, and they came down and checked out our facilities, and they were pretty pumped on our facilities, especially with the new plans for the football facility and the MAC, which obviously is an outstanding arena. And they checked out some of our equipment and made some suggestions to what we should get or needed to get to kind of upgrade our streams. And then it kind of took off from there. Then it moved into a contract phase, and then we went up for some training, and they came down here again, and now the equipment has been ordered, and we have a production trailer coming, not unlike what Duke has going down there in Raleigh, a little bit smaller version. But it's really exciting, and that's kind of where we're at now. We're waiting for some equipment to come in. There's going to be some intense training that has to go on over the next couple of weeks, and we're hoping to announce the schedule pretty soon.
So for the casual fan, to kind of give them the overall idea, when you tune in to these broadcasts, they will look identical to an ESPN broadcast, from everything to the open to the theme music you kind of hear when you come in, to the graphics on the screen, and kind of from soup to nuts. If you tune in, it will look like ESPN, except it will be entirely produced by Monmouth University.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it. I mean, the ESPN3 has a certain standard that they expect, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's the biggest, I don't want to call roadblock, but that's the biggest expectation, is that they expect if you're going to put on an ESPN 3 broadcast and have the ESPN name attached to it, you better deliver on that. And that's what we're ensuring. And through the help of the communications department, we're going to get a really good staff. We already have a really good staff that works in the Monmouth Digital Network. Most of those kids are communications members. But there's going to be some additional opportunities for students in the communications department to get some of this hand-on experience. It could be anything from technical directing to directing to running cameras to, you know, cable pulling. Some people are going to have to do that, replay everything. And it's just going to be a good learning experience, and it's going to be a great opportunity, like I said, for the university, for the athletics department, and for the sports that actually get put on.
And now, Greg, our next move will be to keep an eye on MammothHawks.com for that schedule soon to come out, anticipating late fall, early winter season with what's going on, and obviously with the great upgrades to the website as well. It's all good stuff going forward with things that are happening, and big congratulations to you and your staff and the great work that you guys have done to ensure that this will happen. And we'll quickly shift a little bit of gears. What do you want to see out of the team you work with, one of the teams you work with most closely, this football team, over the next 30 minutes?
I think all we have to do is you got to get a stop on defense, got to get to the quarterback, although they're doing a really good job of kind of, I don't want to say exposing because that has a really negative connotation. They're doing a good job of picking on our younger secondary. I mean, there's a ton of talent back there, but there are some younger, inexperienced guys, and they're doing a good job. And Beekle is as good as advertised. I have a hard time believing he's not the best quarterback in the NEC. He might be one of the best quarterbacks we face all year. He puts the ball right on the money. So we're going to have to get a three now, going to have to, you know, get a stop here, and then the offense just has to kick back into gear. It was a great first drive. I mean, especially when you factor into the fact that there are two guys on that offensive line that aren't playing today, starters. They did a good, great job on the first drive. Second drive wasn't so good. They had the quick three and out with the balls batted down. Just got to get back on track. Going to have to run the ball a little bit, which is very difficult to do when you're down 24-7. But, hey, I mean, let's not act like Monmouth doesn't have explosive playmakers on offense. We can quickly turn around and get some quick points, especially if you're able to force a turnover or two.
Greg, we appreciate a few minutes here of halftime, and we'll keep an eye on MammothHawks.com for all the latest with the Monmouth Digital Network and ESPN3. We appreciate a few minutes of your time, sir.
No problem, Andy. Thanks for having me on.
That's Monmouth Assistant Athletics Director Greg Viscomi here at halftime. And our halftime show this afternoon, with Monmouth trailing Duquesne 24-7, is presented by the Asbury Park Press, your number one source for local news and information at the Jersey Shore. The Asbury Park Press is proud to sponsor Monmouth University Athletics. 30-second break, and then we're back to go over first half stats. I'll welcome Matt back in, and we'll get you ready for the second half here on your home for Monmouth football all season long, the Shore Sports and Monmouth Digital Networks.
The Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here, getting set for the start of half number two. Monmouth trailing Duquesne by a score of 24-7. Matt Harmon, Eddie Iacopinti wrapping up our Asbury Park Press halftime show. The numbers from the first half, predictably in favor of Duquesne. Dylan Beekle, 16 of 23, 251 yards, two touchdowns. He spread the ball around very well. Chris King getting a lion's share of those 16 completions with six catches for 102 yards and two touchdowns. Eddie, as you and Greg just talking before that last commercial break, that's really been the difference in this game. Monmouth unable to slow down Beekle, get any consistent pressure on him, and he's been able to kind of target whoever he wants.
We've, Matt, started talking about this in our pregame, that these Duquesne playmakers are so good, the emphasis on this young Monmouth secondary, but it all starts up front, and your best coverage happens when your pass rush is good. Pass rush hasn't been there. Beekle's had clean pocket all game. He has been picking apart this team. You just said it, 16 of 23, 251, couple of scores. Monmouth's going to have to correct something because Duquesne has it solved right now.
Brandon Hill, 9 of 16 for 95 yards. He's been sacked a couple of times, sacked twice, which is double the total that he had coming into this one. MU unable to get anything going on the ground today. When you think about LaVon Cheney, he's got 7 carries for 27 yards. KB Asante, 10 rushes for just 16 yards, a per carry average of 1.6. That's not been the success that Monmouth has had on the ground. Obviously, total offensive plays 37 for 131 yards for MU, 38 for Duquesne, one more but over 160 yards more of total offense, 292. Penalties have hurt Monmouth today as well. Six penalties for 46 yards, two for 20, the story for Duquesne. Again, the score as we get set here for half number two, which Duquesne will receive the football. It is Duquesne 24 and Monmouth 7.
Matt, just to touch on that last point you brought up about the penalties, it hasn't necessarily been the amount of penalties that have been called on Monmouth. It's when they've committed them. It's extended drives for Duquesne. They've been 15-yard variety, and they have helped Duquesne and hurt Monmouth in this first half. To come back from a 17-point deficit, you cannot beat yourself. You have to create a few breaks. You maybe have to gamble defensively and try and force some turnovers, because you've got to create at least an extra possession or two in the second half in order to try and come back, as Duquesne will begin the second half with the football.